Welcome, everybody, to another episode of The Independent Mindset, the podcast for candid conversations, staying curious, and simply being better. So today, we're going to keep talking about a topic Jason and I both know and enjoy quite a bit, and that's men's fashion. Today, we're going to, it is the season, so we're going to talk about summer fashion, give you guys a few of our thoughts and tips on that that type of style. Before we get into that, Jason, what's new, man? We haven't chatted in a while.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say I'm enjoying the warmer weather. It was 26 here yesterday, and right out of work, I went back to the old stomping grounds of the campus and ran hills, kind of like an old workout we used to do for lactic threshold, that sort of thing. And kind of similar to the post we put up not too long ago, when I was running up the mountain in Camelton.
But did you do it all in one shot?
The mountain?
Yeah.
That's my secret.
Well, no, you're like pretty good at running up mountains. So, I'm not trying to catch you here.
I don't know if anyone's that good. It's a very steep mountain.
It is a steep mountain. For those who don't know, it's Sugarloaf Mountain, and it's only about 1,000. It basically makes a threshold of what you call a mountain. So 1,000 feet, I think.
You know the little like block that's on top there out of concrete? It's like about 3 feet high. That's the thing that like legally makes it a mountain.
Yeah, they just poured cement on rock so that it would be part of the rock, right?
Exactly.
To make it qualify as a mountain. But it is a steep mountain, so it's a really good cardiovascular.
It's a short one. Like it takes no time to get up there, but it's a good workout and a great resource. But yeah, anyways, yesterday I went and just did hills on Hillside Street here in Moncton, right behind the university. And it was fun. It was nice and warm. It kind of went back to the old cross-country and track and field routes.
How's the pollen? It was. I took my dog out for a walk yesterday, and the day before, and it's just snowing. Snowing pollen.
My car was yellow.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah.
How about you?
Now I wonder how more paranoid some people will be with everybody sneezing.
Oh man, I went to work. What was it on Thursday? I went into the office, and I was like, "It's just allergies." Like, if you have the list of symptoms, I only have a runny nose. That's it. I'm cool. I'm good. I'm cool. Don't have to throw me in COVID jail.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for me, it's sneezing. It just gets itchy. And here, other than snow and pollen, extended restrictions, man. I don't know what to tell you. Here in Ontario, it's pretty bad. Like Doug Ford, our premier, has just come out saying that, announcing a 3-step reopening plan. Only to not have any of the steps, including step 3, the final step, be an actual reopening plan. It's still a step with a whole lot of restrictions to it. So
I kind of heard like diagonally, like I saw the headlines, but I really didn't look into like what the 3 steps are and like so what is it like? What's the déconfinement process that they laid out?
I don't have it all on me, but basically, we are still going. We're in lockdown here, and we have been for on and off for I forget now. It's been so long, but we've been in lockdown. It's been extended at least for its third time now.
And when you say lockdown,
March, April.
When you say lockdown, what is that exactly?
Can't see anybody outside your household. I think the one exception in Ontario right now is if you live alone. So if you are by yourself, in life, you can pair up with one other household. That's it. If you have one other person in your house, so a wife, a kid, whoever, that's your bubble for an indeterminate amount of time at this point. So that's the big definition of lockdowns. Other than that, or at least for me, that's the biggest factor. The other ones is, stores are closed except for, you know, box stores or essential stores. So pretty much your small retailers are closed. They're not allowed to open in person. The best they can do is curbside pickup. So you can order stuff online and go pick it up. So a lot of them have like transformed their stuff into kind of like a little, like if you were selling food, right? It's just like a little window, like a food truck. So they do that with their stores now. You got the plexiglass and you came for what you ordered. And that's it. And the stupidest thing is that a lot of these stores, including box stores that sell a lot of variety, a lot of different things, are like, yeah, we're allowed to sell bread, but we're not allowed to sell you a car battery. And that happened to me last week. Our car battery died. We So I actually got my super nice neighbor to drive us and try and find a battery, because my wife, who is a nurse, needs to get to the hospital to work with the car every day. You know, I work from home, but she needs the car every day. And they wouldn't let us enter with our old battery because they don't sell other batteries. We went to Costco. That was the first place we tried. It was right next door. And they're like, nope. And everybody was very rude. The service was horrible. And I said, the ironic part is you're telling me this is not essential, even though you sell them in the aisle next to the bread. I'm not kidding you. It is the aisle next to the bread. And the ironic part is it is essential. And my wife can't get to work at the hospital. She can't go to the hospital as a healthcare professional. You do understand how ironic this is.
As a registered nurse.
Yeah. So then they said, go to Canadian Tire curbside pickup. And I'm like, you do understand most curbside pickups I've done have taken like 3 days till they get back to me. That doesn't count as essential to me. I'm sorry.
So a big box store like Costco will have certain parts of their square footage open and certain parts closed. So like you're allowed to go through certain aisles, but not the others. Like they just like taped it off or put pylons or something.
Yeah, correct. There was one nice lady who worked there who had empathy for us, because we were just like, at that point, chickens with our head cut off. We're like, none of this makes sense. Are you kidding me? And she said, yeah, it's insane. She said a lot of adults work from home now. So they, you know, come and get a lot more work supplies. And she said the biggest part is that a lot of kids have transitioned to homeschooling. And so they come and get, you know, crayons, paper, all this stuff. And she said, we'll sell all of that stuff. For some reason, that's essential. But the ink for the printer is not. So they can buy like printer paper, but they can't buy ink.
Well, we could spend the whole day just poking holes into that. But yeah. Okay, well, what's the other steps?
I mean, the big thing that I think is laughable, but in a very sad way, is that whenever businesses, you know, are allowed to open in the 1, 2, 3 steps, and this is all according to what percentage of people are vaccinated in the province. That's their big kind of threshold or their indicator. The one that's laughable to me is that when businesses are allowed to open, thanks to, you know, the generosity of Mr. Ford.
And this would be like the most open of the three steps, like the ladder of the three steps.
Yeah, it all depends. I think like for maybe step one or step two, they're going to open like outdoor things, right? Like
sure.
Patios. But so for most things that are then allowed to open in whatever step, it's 15% capacity. 1-5.
And
15%.
Well, so let's say that the threshold, I don't know, I'm just making it up here, is 70% of your population is vaccinated. And now
I believe actually the first threshold, step one, is for 60% to have at least the one vaccine, the first dose. Yeah.
Okay. And then as you go, so the most open one, call it, I don't know, 70% have been double dosed or whatever. I'm just kind of spitballing.
Yeah, it's lower than that, but it's like, let's say 80% for one and then maybe 20 or 25% for the second, something like that.
Okay. Then you're only allowed 15% capacity. And I'm assuming at 15% capacity is kind of the equivalent of, let's say you have a restaurant with 100, you know, I don't know, 1,000 square feet worth of dining space. Well, 15% is kind of the equivalent of 6 feet in a mask anyways.
Yeah, and the masks and the social distancing will not go anywhere. I didn't see anywhere in the plan that says, you know, that's gone. So, you know, it's the full plan to reopening, but we're not close to reopening, to back to normal, right?
Right.
So anyways, and last thing I'll say, because I do remember this stat, there are currently, I think it's one hospitalization of COVID in Ontario per 11,000 people.
So very worrying, very worrying numbers.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, great start to the show.
You're feeling, just, you got a little bit of cabin fever right now is what you're telling me.
Yeah. And for anybody out there who maybe feels the same way or doesn't, but maybe at least a little bit, I hope you do maybe a little bit, but, or that you can relate. Yeah, the thing for me is it's hard to look forward to things because, you know, you just keep getting lied to, whether some people do it on purpose or not. You know that tomorrow is not going to be, you know, just 10 more days, just 15 more days, right? It's just always that. So it gets very hard to look forward to things when you're like, I really don't know when we're going to be able to travel again. And like, seriously think about it, guys. Like, you know, don't just be like, yeah, well, you know, if people just stayed at home, you're like, people have been doing that for over a year now, almost a year and a half. So,
and you know what really bothers me is I work in a healthcare setting. You work in a government setting. You can infer what our opinions are from our tone, from what we're saying, and obviously kind of like the direction we're taking this. But you and I are not expressing our full opinions, not even close. Like we're barely scratching the surface of what we truly think about this. And that's what worries me, because we both know darn well that if we went off and ran our mouths, probably got to get a few things wrong in the process, say if we're just spitballing it and really truly venting and saying what we think, we'd get hauled to the principal office in no time.
Yeah. Maybe we can direct people to our Fate of Empires episode, where we talk about the cycle of empires and how civilizations rise and then crumble.
Yeah. And
be a trend.
I think one thing we should do eventually is a good episode on postmodernism and how we're essentially in a postmodern society. And if you're wondering what postmodernism is, just look at art. Like modern art would be like the pinnacle of art. Say like you draw the best landscape ever and it almost looks like the real deal. You can barely tell it's a painting. That's modern art.
Takes a lot of talent.
Takes a lot of talent, takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of things. Like essentially a modern society is when you have all your nice, beautiful structures, you know, that's the high noon. If you want to refer to our cycle of empires, Fate of Empires episode, postmodernism is when it's kind of like a derivative of, instead of painting that beautiful, perfect landscape, you'll kind of make it like squiggly art. It'll look like a landscape, but it's kind of like a derivative of, instead of putting trees, it might be like, I'm just going to like staple a branch here and it's going to represent a tree. It takes a lot less effort, takes a lot less creativity, takes a lot less patience. But like Mount Everest has already been summited in the previous artist's painting of the landscape. So the best you can do is kind of a spoof of, like, I'll give you another example. Picture Deadpool, great movie. A lot of fun movie, but it didn't contribute to superhero movies or other movies. It's just a kind of a mockery of all the other things that existed before it. That's postmodernism.
And we're at least you get a laugh out of that.
Exactly. It was basically the modern art of postmodern film art, yeah. Whatever, but you get the idea. Yeah. And we're kind of in this point now where everything's been done. So all you can do is deconstruct and go beyond, and kind of it's a spoof of a spoof at this point.
Yeah, I gotta say I'm not an art expert at all, but yeah, I've always been a fan of realism, of the, you know, the people who that can draw things that look like pictures. I think it's absolutely amazing. And postmodernist art, I never understood. You know, it's like Jackson Pollock splashes or just a line, and you're like, oh, it represents this, and you're like, okay, bud.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a line. Yeah. It is. I'm sorry. It's not worth 50,000 or 100,000.
It's a lie. That's what it is.
Exactly. Anyways. So yeah. I think we should talk about that at some point. But it feels like we're in a postmodern society right now.
There's definitely some good chunks of it for sure. So today, what are we talking about though, Jason? Let's lighten things up.
All right. Let's have a little more fun with it. So you got a real nice shirt on there, Will. What's the theme?
Yeah, so as alluded to at the beginning, we're going to talk about summer fashion for men, of course. And so we'll give a kind of our thoughts, tips, and tricks on what to wear, what the types of fabrics should come out in the summer, things like that. And then we'll talk about, you know, kind of head to toe, a few items that everyone should have for those hot summer and beach days. And as we're, you know, we're talking about lockdowns and everything, it is also illegal here to get a haircut. So, you know, I talk the talk about fashion, and I tell guys to stay well trimmed and cut. But here we go. I got the, you know, the hair around the ears, and just sorry, guys, I don't live with a hairdresser. So
I remember when this started, the whole thing, it was kind of like a newspaper style caricature. and it was just like Buddy in a car picking up a prostitute, and the little thought bubble over him was, do you cut hair?
Yeah.
Not worried about anything else. I just need a haircut.
Yeah, exactly. And that, well, that's kind of what it is. I know some folks that have gotten like illicit haircuts. They'll like go in like a buddy's van, or like it's there's like a black market for it right now.
Hey, well, when, what episode did we talk about? I think it was the Overton Window, the one we talked about the drug war and kind of like how, yeah, how alcohol and everything became more and more permissive and blah, blah, blah. Like one thing led to another. And if you can't have alcohol, you're definitely not going to have LSD in your society, sort of thing. But yeah, if anything, all that proved is when you ban things, there's still a desire for it, and someone's going to fill that void. Because look at prohibition. No alcohol. It's bad for society. All right. Yeah, you can make that case.
People still, just get Al Capone.
people still want it. People are still going to buy it. People are going to want haircuts. So they're going to get haircuts. I guess they screw you. Like, I need a haircut.
For sure. Yeah. So let's ignore our haircuts today. That's because I legally cannot get one. So Jason, you want to start us off? Let's talk about, let's just talk about kind of like the big trends and the big topics of summer fashion. What differentiates from any other types of men's fashion?
Sure. Well, I mean, fashion is fashion, right? You're showing social awareness. You're showing that you understand your environment. You're showing that you're able to play with the rules. You understand the rules and go a little bit outside of them if you do it well. The difference between summer fashion and fall fashion is the basic obvious understanding in Canada that the weather's hot, the weather's cold. So it's, you're going to play with that. I know, as fundamental, as silly as that sounds, that's the first place to start. You understand that it's warmer, so you're probably not going to wear a sweater. Same thing in winter. It's colder. You're probably not just going to wear a t-shirt and shorts. And if you do, you're that one weird university student who says, no, man, I'm never cold.
Yeah. I've been meaning to ask you this. What would you, like, let's say you lived in Arizona or somewhere where it's basically one season all year. Would you like that, or would you miss, and just from a fashion aspect, or would you miss the fact that there are four seasons that you can change into, you know, like sweater season, parka season, jean season, you know, whatever, suit season?
A purely fashion aspect. I mean, the more variety, the better. It gives more room for creativity, expression, and changing. From a practicality standpoint, it would be better because you don't have, you know, a tickle trunk or a tote of, you know, all your winter clothes jammed in the back of the closet somewhere. But
yeah, clothes are expensive, like having, you know, two to four types of clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially winter clothing. It's not cheap.
But from, you know, a functional standpoint and just being a good old Canadian, nah, man, I like my seasons. Sure, like it gets cold, whatever. Spring and fall, you know, have their pros and cons. But nah, I like my seasons. Enjoy the summer while it's here. Enjoy the winter when it's there.
Yeah. And in Canada, it's too hot and then it's too cold.
Yeah, man. I mean, we grew up that our winters would hit minus 40 with, call it an average day of minus 20 Celsius, not Fahrenheit. And then our summers, same thing, you know, call it an average of 25 and highs of 40. So we got 80 degrees Celsius worth that we play in. That's a pretty big range.
And I got to tell you, man, Ottawa is worse in the summer. It's not as bad in the winter.
It's stupidly like hot.
Our winters in Northern New Brunswick were much harsher. They were cold. I remember the last grade 12, I think we had more cold days than snow days. And we had a record of both days. In that year, I think they even extended the school year a week because we had missed so many days of like minus 40 plus, you know, and snow days. So yeah, but Ottawa is the opposite. It's easily plus 40 with humidity sometimes or for weeks. And the big thing that kills me in Ottawa is when the sun goes down, doesn't matter. It's the air that's hot here. Mm. Whereas where we live on the coast, you know, the sun goes away, there's always that freshness overnight. There's dew in the morning. It shows that it was cold, not in Ottawa.
Yeah, you get a gradient of temperature, whereas I know anytime I visit you in
Ottawa. The pollen.
Weather just feels like a bit of both.
A bit of both.
But a little pollen never hurts you. And but anyways, yeah, like Ottawa's, it feels like it just sits there. Like, I don't know if it's the concrete or what, but whenever, like when we did
it's a swamp.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah. It's a lowland.
Yeah, it's it's lowland. It's a swamp.
That's why.
So okay. Ottawa, and then you go west, it's a valley. Mm. So we sit in some pretty musky territory.
Okay. Yeah. But anyways, all that to say, summer is different than winter. So as basic as that is, that's going to be where you're going to start with your summer fashion. But
there you go.
But here's why I say that. You're going to wear fewer layers. So you think nice fall fashions, if you want to do the refined look, you can have a collared shirt, you can have a sweater, you can have a sports coat on top, you can do all these different earth tones, and it's going to be nice and layered, and it's going to look like it's right out of a magazine. You're going to boil if you do that in the summer. So you have a lot less room to do layers. So you have to play with the subtleties a little bit more and be extra particular about the fit. So you might just wear a t-shirt, or you might just wear a short sleeve dress shirt like both Will and me are doing right now. But you might have accessories. You might have a watch. I know you have a watch on the other wrist right now. You might do little bracelets and all these things that we'll get into later. But it's things that's going to take in consideration the function of the ambient climate, but also going to take into consideration what you have to work with, which is less in this case.
And less can be more. Don't forget that, right? There, you can easily make a very strong fashion statement with one thing you wear, or the way you wear one thing in an outfit that only has three pieces to it, right? Instead of, you know, 8 or 10 if you're wearing a three-piece suit or a bunch of layers outside in the winter.
So you're going to use fit a little bit differently. It's going to be t-shirt time. Most likely it's going to be a little bit more fitted. If you have an athletic fit, you're going to use that, or an athletic body and figure, you're going to want to use that to its maximum.
Sun's out, guns out, right?
Basically.
Or a shout out to a short company I really enjoy. They're American, but they're called Chubbies. I've got a few of their pairs of shorts, and they're all about, their slogan is, skies out, thighs out.
There you go. Yeah. I saw a really good one. I forget who did
it. The squats.
it was like short, like old school track and field shorts. They're like overly short. It was just like the liner underneath, and it was, right. They were orange and black and had a little logo on Thigh of the Tiger. It's like, okay, that's pretty good.
Thigh of the Tiger. Yeah.
But anyway, so you're going to use fit differently. Like the obvious summer fit is the snugger, more form-fitting fit. That's kind of like where the mind goes to right off the get-go. And that's going to be good for functionality of, or I guess fashion, but it's going to be less good for heat. And I'll tell you why. If you look at Arab countries and you look at the desert, that sort of thing, they're not running around the desert wearing t-shirt and shorts. They're fully covered, looser, baggier clothing, all natural fibers, cottons, linens, that sort of thing, to keep the heat and keep the sun off the bare skin to avoid sunburns and that sort of thing. So one thing that you can do also is use a looser fit. And I'll get into more details when we get into pants and certain fabrics that I think are really underutilized in summer. But you can use the baggier fit in the summertime if it's absurdly hot and you want to keep cool.
And protected from the sun if you're a pale Scottish-Irish descendant like me.
Yeah, you're saying there you're a little red around the forehead, eh?
Yeah, summer comes out. It takes me a while to build that tan there. I get a few burns first. My wife gets really mad at me. But she tans like a Mediterranean Greek. It's crazy.
So. She's from Nova Scotia, though.
Yeah, she has some Hungarian descent, so I really think that's what kind of gives her that Mediterranean skin tone. But anyways, it's nice compared to mine.
Your pasty white Scottish ass.
Yeah, yeah. So what kind of fabrics do we use, Jason? Like you mentioned some are quite underutilized, and I agree. I think we hit cotton too much. Not that cotton's like, you know, the number one fabric to wear on someone's body in most societies today. But yeah, what else can we use in the summer?
Yeah, you go to your fast fashion stores, your H&Ms, your Zaras, that sort of thing. You're going to get cotton. It's cheap. It's, you know, it works. It's fine. Nothing wrong with it. But it becomes unfashionable if that's all you have. And if everyone else is wearing cotton, well, all right, you're just, you know, another brick in the wall. There's a bunch, you know, you want to stick with your natural fibers, but the one I'm going to go to would be kind of the next one to jump on after cotton is linen. Linen comes from a plant. kind of like a white flour. And when it's spun into fabric, it's very light and it has texture to it. So whereas cotton tends to be a lot more flat and elastic, linen tends to be a little bit more undulating and having this kind of like rougher, bumpier texture to it and doesn't quite stretch as much. But it's very, very breathable. And
almost like seersucker. Well, you know, in terms of the texture.
A little bit less than seersucker. Seersucker is derived off of cotton, but right. It has a very wavy, very pronounced wavy texture to it. And what seersucker does is, let's say you can make a suit out of seersucker. Like that's on my to-get list, is a nice seersucker suit. But what it does, it's a very thin fabric. So sure, like transpiration and perspiration goes through it just fine. But because it's wavy, instead of having the fabric lay flat against your skin, there's only going to be like, say, half of the fabric that's going to be touching your skin. So it's not going to be stuck to you and it's going to leave room for the air to circulate.
I know it's very complicated for people to understand, so I'll use a comparison. If you're eating natural chips or plain chips, those are flat. If you eat rippled chips, they have ripples and the air can go through those chips if you were late to lay them directly on your skin.
Man, if you can make a suit out of, you know, Lay's chips, I'll pay to see that. I'll give you $1,000 if you can pull that off.
Hey, Lady Gaga did a meat dress or whatever. So yeah, never say never.
Them artists, right? That's postmodernism right there. Yeah. You want to see postmodernism when you have freaking a pork chop panty suit or whatever she had going on. No, I never saw the photo. That's postmodernism.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, linen. Get some linen. Get linen pants. That's the place to start. I have like 8 pairs. I love them. And we'll get into.
Yeah, you do like linen, yeah.
Oh man, like was it 2 summers ago? I went to Ottawa for your bachelor. That's what I wore half the time because it's boiling hot in Ottawa, like we said earlier, and everyone's wearing shorts. And then people ask you, it's a conversation starter. Why are you wearing pants? I'm like, well, have you, kind sir, madam, have you heard the benefits of linen? But anyways, it's a fashion statement. And then you got like the slightly looser fit of the linen pants. You got the slightly snugger fit of the cotton t-shirt. Not extremes, you know, one's not skin tight. The other one's not parachute pants. But it's obviously a different fashion. It's a little bit more, it's having a little bit more awareness and it's using the uncommon.
Right. And you have up here a chambray as well, which I actually have a chambray suit, so a summer suit, which chambray, simply put, I would basically say it's kind of like the cotton you see on jeans, but a lot thinner, almost like a simplified, thinner, cooler version of jean fabric, if you will.
It looks like denim, just finer, obviously softer and cottonier. Just it kind of has the same look. But it works a lot better for summer.
Similar. So you if you ever see like chambray shirts, or that's kind of what it means, and it'll look like a light denim shirt essentially. And I actually have a chambray suit, which I use as a summer suit. It's a light blue suit.
Yeah, a chambray suit is made specially for summer. In winter, it would look kind of off. Like you want those harder fabrics. Like you want the wools. Wool still, by the way, wool still works fine in the summertime. It is
wool is the best fabric. Period. If I had to choose,
like having worked in menswear and selling suits year long, I'd present someone with a 100% wool suit for their summer wedding. Say, he's like, oh, well, isn't that going to be warm? And my answer was like, look, you're wearing a jacket in 40 degrees. I don't care what it's made out of. You're going to be warm.
Yeah.
But what this is, it's a naturally wicking fiber. It's a breathable fiber. As cool as I can make you, wool, linens, all this sort of thing is going to keep you as cool as possible given just the situation that you're in.
Right. So so those are some summer fabrics that are staples. And you mentioned, you stressed, you know, avoid synthetics, and man, avoid synthetics in general, but especially in the summer, man, you're going to boil in that. You know, a thing I find too, and not all sport, you know, athletic gear does this well, but you know, they'll mix in whatever synthetics into their product, into their items, and they'll say it's breathable because it's got spandex or whatever in it. It's the worst thing you can do.
They'll say they'll sell it on more durable because the polys and the nylons don't, you know, wear down as much. You won't see nylon in a suit so much because it'll be shiny, but they'll sell it a lot as more functional, because you can weave the polys to become more elastic, like elastane and spandex. And you'll see a lot of suits with like 2-4% spandex or 2-4% elastane. And sure, it does give you a little bit more momentum. Granted, I'll give it that. And it is quite comfortable. Still warmer though. And if you're trying to be stylish in the summer, get a proper fit and then worry about the mobility or the heat. Right. And here's the thing, like, if you're going to get into the car to drive, just take your jacket off. It's annoying. It's annoying having to drive with a sports coat or jacket on, almost irrespective of how well it fits.
I almost always take my jacket off if I'm, you know, doing something. Yep. Helps the jacket maintain its shape. It, you know, the jacket will last longer. And if you run hot, like most men, I think, I feel like, you know, you've got your girlfriend or your wife, it's always, she's always got those cold hands or those cold feet. And the guy's like, ah, what the hell? I'm always super hot. So man, if you run hot,
the cold feet, cold hand thing is always like a welcome cool down. I find it's like, ah, shock. Okay. That feels good.
Depends when.
Yeah, fair.
But last thing I'll say before we get into actual, you know, accessories and items for the summer is really a chance to wear colors, period, but also colors that are not really welcomed as much in the winter. So that could be pastels. It could be a lot of really fun patterns, right? Summer season comes and stores always try new stuff, right? Whether that's floral, whether that's repetitive patterns or animals or birds or whatever it may be, and some fun colors and designs and motifs. It's something you don't see, or just not part of the winter wardrobe nearly as much.
Pineapples. You get a lot of pineapples on clothes in the summertime.
Yeah. And you'll see those kind of every season. There's like a shirt. It's like I find it's like brands that miss the trend a little bit. And then like the year or two after that, you know, I don't know, some really nice floral was big and actually stylish. They come up with like their own floral patterns. And then you've got like a lot of the guys who I would say are, you know, a bit less knowledgeable in fashion who are wearing it. And you're like, yeah, cool. And we'll get into that. But that's one thing is summer. And I encourage you to try stuff out, try fun things and colors. And if you like the pattern, go for it. But it is also to be known that the louder something is, the more eccentric or colorful or pattern filled it is, the more chances that it will last, that its style will last much
less.
It won't last nearly as long.
And with the very fundament of fashion, and I would say anything having to do with masculinity as well, congruency. If the bright pink floral shirt doesn't fit your personality, doesn't fit your confidence level, doesn't fit the energy and the vibe that you bring to a social situation, just don't wear it. Because the moment someone's going to try to engage you with what you're presenting, and you recoil a little bit, and it's very incongruent with the image that you're projecting, that person is going to recoil because they won't know how to handle you. Because they're saying your body's saying one thing, but your actions are saying another. And that's going to, like, very like deep brain stuff, that's going to incite a sort of fear in someone, and they're not going to want to associate with you. So again, everything always comes back to congruency.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not Lenny Kravitz, don't try to look like Lenny Kravitz, right?
Man,
hard to pull off.
One of the most baller looks I ever saw Lenny Kravitz do, it was the Kennedy Center Honors in 2012 when he sang Whole Lot of Love for Led Zeppelin, getting the award of the Kennedy Center Honors. This guy shows up in skin tight black jeans. Okay, you're a rock star, granted, fair enough. But no shirt, and has a smoking jacket on top. It's like a tuxedo jacket, black tuxedo jacket, smoking jacket, same thing, with the shawl collar. So just like nice. The round collar.
Yeah, I love the shawl lapel.
The satin, like the bright black satin on the lapel, and a shit ton of chains. It was perfect. Like it was incredibly congruent. Like stylistically, tighter pants, black jacket. You know, most performers wear black on stage. It works better. The no shirt thing, it's very Lenny Kravitz mixing.
It's very rock star, yeah.
Very rakish, because you're taking a formal out piece of clothing. You're immediately juxtaposing it on top of no freaking shirt to begin with, and then skin tight jeans. So it was the perfect rakish combination, and he killed a whole lot of love. So he brought the goods to substantiate the look.
Right. Yeah. So back to, let's go into kind of head to toe or toe to head, wherever you want to start, but let's talk about actual items. Cause, I know we aren't all rock stars. So what are the items you would suggest or want to cover for summer?
Well, last time we didn't really talk a whole lot about shoes. I figured we could start there. Like my go-to, and like admittedly the list here, I kind of base it off my style. It's what I know. Doesn't mean that that's what you have to go for, but it's probably a fairly decent starting point for most average guys. Boat shoes, just good old fashioned boat shoes. They can be brown. They can be blue. I usually get a pair of blues and a pair of browns will last me 2-3 summers. And then once they get too faded or worn, just sub them out for the next pair. And it's functional because if you have to wear socks, it's just a really, really low socks just to not get blisters on the back of your heels. If the shoes rub a little bit, most times you don't even have to wear socks. So it's quicker. It's more convenient. It's more summery and it's lighter and just faster. And it looks good. It just looks summery.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a fan of shoes over sandals in the summer as well. So yeah, you could get a good pair of Sperry topsiders or something like that. Some boat shoes. I'm a loafer guy myself. So I love anything from the kind of casual suede or leather loafer to the more formal, you know, wool or dress leather, loafer. I typically tend to like you, I don't wear socks. However, for some people that's not possible. They have like, you know, crazy smelly feet and that's just the way they're built. So, you know, I can recommend two things. First one is something like, Gold Bond foot powder. You know, you can put some powder in your shoes before you wear them every time, or just, you know, keep it next to your shoes, quick dose once in a while. That does a fairly good job of kind of absorbing, you know, the sweat and the humidity from your feet. The other thing too is now they make invisible socks, right? So just some liner socks that cover your toes and your heel, and you know, you can't see it no matter what shoe you wear. Really, you can't really see them. The one thing I would say they don't really work on me. I don't know if it's because my heel doesn't have enough of a hook, but they typically tend to slide off the heel anyway. So try a few things out, but I know Jason and I typically tend to just go on the no socks, but. Again, all depends.
Yeah, me, I'll wear socks if I notice I'm starting to get blisters. And it's like you say, those little invisible socks. And also, if you have foot odor, a lot of time body odor. Oh, yeah, there you go. That's perfect.
So here's a casual. This is more like my indoor slippers, but these are technically loafers. So these are suede, blue suede loafers. They're a bit more casual. And then I have worn them in quite a bit, but one of my favorite pairs of shoes, this is wool. So this is a wool loafer. Which I can wear basically casual all the way to, I've worn it to weddings and fancy events like that in the summer where I kind of, you know, you cuff the pants, wear with a suit or some nice chinos and things like that. Just no socks.
And you'll notice with a shoe like that, it stays very much within the norms. Like it has the shape of a dress shoe mostly, but it breaks the rules ever so slightly by being a wool shoe. Like a while ago when you said a wool shoe, I actually thought you misspoke. Like, because it's so different, right? But there you go. You bring up the example and it works. So that's very pretty. And that's essentially what makes style. It's you take the tried and true and just tweak something a little bit. And in that case there, it's the fabric that got changed.
I also just love the shape of a formal loafer, and I get it. It's hard to pull off for a lot of people. It can be seen as a little too rakish or effeminate. Because it is a much more delicate shoe, right? It almost looks like Cinderella's slipper in some ways. And you're wearing it without socks. Traditionally, that's not a very masculine thing. It has been, you know, becoming more and more popular in the last 10 years or so. But I think there's still a lot of men who aren't secure or feel like it's congruent enough with themselves to wear a loafer like that, especially a formal looking loafer. But I'll tell you, the amount of compliments and notices you get from wearing shoes like that at any type of event is quite significant. So again, if you don't feel comfortable, don't do it, but it's a nice, cool, and also can be a very formal shoe. And especially if you're not wearing socks, boom, the women will be attracted right away and notice that, you know, that slight peacocking of your outfit.
Yeah, and that's really what it comes down to, is just, you know, peacocking doesn't have to be platform shoes and top hats, just subtle little things, just little things.
Exactly. And it doesn't even have to, you know, it might just be a random person at a wedding, man or woman, who was like, oh, the guy who was wearing those cool shoes.
So, it could be just that simple. So to kind of work our way up from shoes, what about pants? What would you say, or trousers or shorts? What do you do in the summertime?
I think there's lots to work with. Funny enough, so I'll share a personal story. For the longest time, we're both tall, skinny builds, but for the longest time I was, you know, before I became an adult and worked out and gained a bit of muscle, I was a stick. I was extremely skinny. You know, people would call me anorexic all the time just because that kind of stuff. That's how skinny I was. So for the longest time, I didn't wear shorts because I was self-conscious. So for years and years and years, I never wore shorts. I always wore pants. I also worked at a lumberyard throughout those years. So it was kind of like, no, I work in a lumberyard, so therefore I have to wear pants. So outside of work, it was just my excuse, right? It was like, well, I wear pants for work every day. That's just what I'm used to. So I have gotten over that fear. I feel a lot more comfortable, and I do wear shorts. I think shorts are a great option, and they give you lots of variety and choices in your outfit. But I also, like Jason, I wouldn't discount pants, especially those nice kind of light linen pants or chinos, or even you get something quite popular these days, which is more of like it's almost like a formal sweatpant. It is a cotton pant, kind of like, it looks exactly like a chino, except often it's got more of an elastic waist and an elastic, they've got elastic cuffs to them. Exactly. So again, it's something to wear with loafers or boat shoes or sandals even, and without socks. And again, much cooler. Usually it's a slightly looser fit. It could still be a very fitted pant, but it is not a, you know, tight jeans or things like that.
So what you're saying is I got to get you those Thigh the Tiger shorts for Christmas now. Now you can wear them.
Yeah. No, and it's funny, like I've embraced it now. As I said, like there's a company I quite like, Chubbies, and they're all about the thighs, right? They sell like 4.5 inseams, 5-inch inseams.
Oof, that's short.
7, 9, but I go 7 to 5 are my types of inseams now. So I just kind of own it, and I'm still a tall, you know, lanky guy, but you got to own it. You got to feel some sort of comfort, and sometimes you do have to kind of surmount that, because your wardrobe and your style will be extremely limited. If you're like me when I was younger and just say no shorts ever, that's a lot of choice and options that you just throw out the window.
Yeah, I did the same with no jeans ever up until high school or whatever it was. Just didn't like them. I was always outside playing. I was like, jeans suck. Like I can't climb a tree in jeans.
That's true. You would always get dirty and rip your pants.
So bad.
Grass stains. Your mom would get so mad at you.
Well, can you blame her? She'd have to like come to the school like three times a week because like dumbass over here just got dirty again.
I mean, I think you were growing really fast, and I don't think you had full control over your body.
Hey, I broke my, what was it? 3 times I broke my wrist in high school. So
and then one time, another one, right?
One time.
I think it was four broken wrists.
Four in total. Yeah. Like Bambi on ice up until like age 19.
Awful. Yeah. And your mom would get so mad, and then she'd be like, why isn't William covered in mud and grass? And I was like, well, I didn't ball. I didn't throw myself everywhere.
Yeah. I was just like, ball. Ah, I just like die for it.
Yeah. You're like kind of like a little deer. I think that's a good comparison. Yeah.
Track and field solve that. Because like, hey, if you're going to high jump, you kind of have to have control of what's going on.
True.
What was I going to say? Yeah, my fashion faux pas as a kid was exactly like you said. I grew really quickly. I'm 6'3" now, and I hit 6 feet. I don't know, maybe 14 years old, something like that. 15 years old at the most. And my mom, like, I wear a medium in my shirts. And exactly like to your video that you put out on, you know, 7 basic styles, the very first point you did was have the seam of your shirt right above your shoulder. Well, it took me until the age of, I kid you not, 23 to realize that I did not wear a 3 extra large. because my mother had completely brainwashed me that you'll grow into it, you'll grow into it, you'll grow into it. And I, again, you can't blame her, right? Like, you got this freaking kid who just doesn't stop growing. You don't know if he's going to end up being 12 foot tall. Yeah,
he's built like a scarecrow.
Yeah, he's built like a scarecrow. So, like, for fuck's sakes, I just bought you a t-shirt last week and it's already too short on you. So, of course, she was putting me in three extra larges. But it took me forever to figure out, like, oh, yeah, actually, medium is, it's okay. I can do that.
Yeah, and to be fair, I think we grew up in a period that I would say is a low point for a lot of fashion, especially men's fashion, women's.
Man, the wind never stood a chance with the wind pants and the windbreakers and the neon colors. It was so bad.
Yeah, that's when we were really young. But then after that, it was just kind of like oversized sports gear. And, you know, like everybody wore like a Nike t-shirt that was two sizes too big or whatever, right? Reebok and Adidas and all that stuff. And yeah, not a great style, but so you can't really blame your mom because every man around her was probably wearing at least one size too big, right?
And I mean, they still do. Again, that to your to the video that you put out recently, most guys, and I've seen this a million times selling clothing, if you think it's perfect, go down one size. And then the guy goes, it's like, just put it on. And then like the wife goes, ooh, that looks good. And then he's sold.
Mm-hmm. Especially for a t-shirt, as long as the t-shirt's not too, you know, it's not giving you a crop top, if that t-shirt feels snug, that's good. Cotton stretches, you will look that, unless you're, you know, very, very obese or something, you want a slight snug fit to most of your clothes. It will make you feel better in them. It just will. It's just how it works. So back to pants though. Are we done with pants?
Get linen pants.
Yeah, Jason loves linen pants. He will vouch for linen pants.
Just trust me. And
I mentioned a few. You know, you can cuff your chinos. You can get these kind of, I guess, formal sweatpants. We call them. They're cotton. They just look like chinos with elastic bands on them.
I really like chinos. I find they're exceptionally stylish. But I find in really hot weather, because chinos tend to be a little bit skinnier and often do have like more elastane, sometimes poly, whatever in it. I find they get a lot hotter. And just kind of the crotch area gets just too warm. And like you get a little bit sweaty and stuff. I know it might be a little too much information, but you still want to be functional, right? You don't want to end up getting a rash, you know, by August because but for real, like that's part of the functionality. Like that's, you want to wear something sure that it looks good, but you also don't want to have negative consequences coming from that. And if everything stays humid and hot and damp, things happen.
Yeah. Last things for pants before we move on to shirts. Two things. Never wear capris. Those are done. Gone. For those who don't know what capris are, those are three-quarter pants. Don't. Cuffing is in. So if you have full-length pants like chinos, cuff them. And you can turn them into capris, but they're not. And so that's how you do it nowadays. The other thing I'll say is when it comes to shorts, again, we talked about t-shirts and all forms of clothing that were always worn too big by men. Same thing with shorts. We grew up with the like board shorts where they had to be so big that they just make you look like, especially us with like sticks for legs. It makes you look that much skinnier, guys. It gives you no butt. It gives you no thighs. It gives you nothing. So again, shorts should, if you don't feel secure in wearing like a 6-inch inseam, you know, some pretty short shorts for some men, still make sure your shorts are above the knees. If not, they're not shorts. They look ridiculous. That's my rule. They have to be above the knees.
Style-wise, I agree. I still have a pair of board shorts. They're a little bit like slimmer than like cargo pants, but I agree with that one.
Yeah. And you can, again, you can cuff your shorts if you have chino shorts or jean shorts or whatever. And you're like, you know, the thing to do is have them a bit shorter these days. I feel like they could be fitted more. Cuff them twice, you know, like I showed everybody in the previous video with rolling your sleeves to give your t-shirts or your shirts a better fit. Do the same with your shorts. That simple.
Want to move on to t-shirts, short sleeve dress shirts, that sort of thing?
Go for it.
I'll let you take the lead on this one.
Let's get into, we kind of talked about t-shirts a little bit, and for anybody who wants a bit more info on, you know, basic t-shirt info, check out my first, official YouTube video, which is this 7 styles on a student budget, basically very beginner styles if you're just kind of getting into your image and fashion. But the so we can get into summer shirts, right? We can get into collared shirts, some short sleeve shirts. Again, I would tend to go with the more fitted, make sure they're fairly appropriate on the shoulders like this, and that they're not too big. If you wear summer shirts, if you wear short sleeve collared shirts that are too big, again, just you will look a little bit ridiculous. You won't be taken as seriously. And again, if the shirt fits fairly well, but again, the sleeves tend to, you know, flop out, give you wings, as I say, again, cuff them. This is just two rolls. That's all it is. Yours seems to fit properly. Anyway, so no need to roll, right? But if they do, if they're or a bit long, or that's just how you like to wear them, yeah, roll them like this.
What's your view on golf shirts?
I'm not a huge fan for a few reasons. Not that I put a lot of thought into this, but now that you're asking, I don't golf. When I do, I hate it because I suck. And I find that most men wear too many golf shirts when they're not golfing.
I've never golfed sober. That's
what, yeah, well, to this I day. Have, and it's not nearly as fun.
Okay. Like, good to know. I don't know. I've never seen a golf shirt look good on a guy. Like if he's super jacked and he's the kind of guy.
Tiger Woods.
Yeah. But but again, it's congruent, right? So it makes sense. And if you're because he's Tiger Woods. But if you're the kind of guy that anything looks good on you, sure, anything's going to look good on you. But they're usually thick and poly and they never fit well. They're always made to hide a bit of a belly. Yep. You get those wings, like you said. The collar never stays nice. There's always one side that rolls over. Like, it's cheap.
Boys, I'm going to call some of you out here. Golf shirts are not an excuse of a collared shirt.
They are not a replacement of a collared shirt. No.
When you're supposed to wear a collared shirt, drop the golf polo, put it away, and get yourself a real summer shirt. It could be a long sleeve shirt that you have and you roll up the sleeves. I wear my dress shirts rolled up all the time. I have long arms. I just like free arms. I'm like Dwight Schrute. But in the summer, if you want to wear a summer shirt, put that golf polo away and get a summer shirt.
Do not go to someone's wedding wearing a golf shirt.
Yes. Yes, exactly. We'll leave it at that. But the other thing I'll say, we can talk about a few kind of, style points on summer shirts. Like we mentioned at the beginning, it's summer shirts are like even for the guy who's a bit more safe with his fashion choices, will be the time of year and the item where you can wear patterns or colors and feel kind of safe about it, right? It could be elephants, it could be pineapples, it could be palm trees, whatever it is, all over your shirt, and that could look cool. However, know that the louder, the more unique the pattern is, typically it lasts, it goes out of style a lot faster than what I covered in the first video, which is some very basic colors, navy blue, army green, white, black, for instance.
I like the army green. That's something I underutilize, and something you use very well is pastels. It's pastels, an easy way to wear pink without wearing pink.
Yeah, exactly. Pastels typically, some pastels can go out of style. Again, it could be, depending on the pastel, it could be a very flashy or unique color. So know that they may be very stylish this year. It might not be stylish in 5 years. It might look pretty ridiculous, but there's some nice pale, safe pastels like blues and pinks that you could wear and will probably stay in style forever. Or for a very, very long time. So just know that if you're wearing, a pattern shirt like Jason is, or I am, we're actually wearing two very different types of patterns, but they're technically both floral, that they will have a tendency of going out of style a lot faster than if I was wearing this in light blue, for instance. The last thing I'll say is very in right now, also very cool, and cool in terms of freshness. And that is the Cuban collar, which I have here. So that is something you're seeing, and it's kind of back in style. It was used a lot more in the
70s.
Yeah, and also in the oversized Hawaiian shirt. And I remember for when we grew up, the Hawaiian shirt was a joke, right? It was kind of like the ugly Christmas sweater party, but for summer.
Yeah, that's very well put. That's exactly what it was, and I'm pretty sure it still is. But again, you can wear it jokingly. There's a time to wear an ugly Christmas sweater. There's a time to wear a Hawaiian shirt.
For sure, but you can say that the market is now huge for fitted and stylish Hawaiian shirts. You know, call them whatever you want, but summer shirts. And I wear a bunch of them, and I wear them in a very, you know, fitted and stylish way. I don't wear them in an ironic way at all. I like the Cuban collars. I like the bright colors. I like the floral. I like birds, whatever it is. So know that that's very in right now. There's a huge market for the kind of the fresh summer shirt. It's very obviously a summer item.
But if you're looking for longevity out of the garment, maybe not the place to go.
Yeah. And yeah. So again, when you're starting from scratch, always go with the solids first. Always go with those blues, the whites, that kind of stuff first.
Want to go to accessories?
Sure.
Kind of put accessories, you put decorations like bracelets and jewelry, but you also got like hats and sunglasses, I would say, kind of lump them all into one. Want to start with hats? How well do hats treat you?
Let's go with hats. Yes. So here, guys, here's a very, I think Jason and I will be candid here. There are things that are congruent. There are things that you think and you can feel that you can pull off, and then you wear something else and you're like, I can't pull it off. There's just something inside of me that's telling me like, you're an idiot for wearing this. Those are hats for me. And I think Jason's in the same boat, aren't you?
a lot of our cover photos and our social media, I have a beard in it. When I had that beard and working at the store at the same time, we had these nice, great, big, wide-brimmed summer hats, which are perfect for summer. You know, kind of like the corn weave sort of thing. Very summery, very nice. Look great. Feels good wearing them. I look Amish. The brim is as wide as my shoulders. And then with the great big long beard and the 6'3" beanpole on top of it, it does not work. It is the repellent of all repellents. I cannot wear a wide-brim hat to save my soul. No matter what.
Yeah. If you don't want the ladies to call you back, do what Jason did.
Yeah. Even as a goof, you're going to look really silly doing it if you're the ectomorph, tall, lean sort of thing, especially if you have a beard on top of it. Don't wear the wide brim hat.
Yeah. I don't grow facial hair really. So I keep a pretty clean shave most of the time. But I will say my head is too small. So typically, again, if you're wondering, can I pull off hats? Maybe you can. A lot of men do, and a lot of men feel it. It's kind of like their safety blanket. You know, the ball cap. Some guys are just, maybe you're losing your hair. Maybe you don't like your hair. Ball cap's kind of your safe thing. Sure, more power to you. There are some men who can't pull hats off in the most part, and that's people like me and Jason. My head is too small. Typically, if your head is very small or your head is very, very large, hats will look sillier on you. They're a lot harder to pull off.
I find hats work better on men that are shorter. For some reason, it just seems more proportional.
Exactly. They are more proportional in that sense, because hats are typically big, right? They're an addition to a fairly small part of your body.
That and men that are mesomorphs and endomorphs. So the guys that are kind of the athletic, kind of think Superman build, and the guys that are the stockier rounder build. I find both of those body types tend to wear hats better.
I would say to men with necks that aren't tiny like ours,
fair.
Wear it better too, because again, it looks a lot less intrusive.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like a palm tree.
Yeah, but yeah, no, if we're to suggest some hats here, there's always the ball cap. I don't enjoy the new style of the ball cap, which is like a very fat, flat brim with the kind of, you know, bucket. It's not form-fitting at all, which again would make me look even more ridiculous. So the few ball caps that I do have and wear once in a while are the much more fitted kind of classic ball caps that we had when we were growing up. So the thing that actually fits on your head correctly, doesn't have a massive dome with a flat brim, something I can form to my head. And often I wear them backwards. They just fit my head and make me better, and they make me look less ridiculous. The other hat I really like, but I can't really pull off, is what you would call the festival hat or the Panama hat. So that is the typical kind of flat brimmed hat, protects you from the sun. That's why it's called Panama or festival hat. It's a pretty stylish hat. It's quite in right now. It can have like a nice little subtle leather strap around it or something like that. And you can wear it in, it's usually a wool blend, and you can wear it in, you know, it could be blue, it could be gray, it could be beige, it could be black. And that's always a nice fashion statement. And when I see men that can pull it off, I'm always like, good for you. And I'm jealous.
Yeah.
And I love those hats.
Those hats, if you're just wearing the plain, say, cotton t-shirt and shorts, will be the piece that accentuates the look. Add a watch on top of it, and boom, you have yourself an outfit.
Yeah. So what about watches or you know, accessories on the arms?
Same thing. It's to go back to what I said at the very start. Summer is about using simple, small things that work with the climate and what the physical world is presenting to you. I like small little either beaded bracelets, small little leather bracelets, you know, not the big hunky things. It's not the time to wear things that are bulky. Just a little detail just to say that it's, you know, accentuating something. The watch, I like a leather strap. I like a smaller face watch, but that's also to go with my build, like you pointed out in your video. I like a clear watch, see-through. Again, it just gives that appearance of lightness. I tend to shy away from things like silver and gold in the summertime, and tend more to go for like just lighter looking things.
Okay, so like what would like a wooden watch or?
Yeah,
I have one of those. They're very nice. They're very comfortable because they're much lighter than a metal watch, which is kind of nice.
Wooden, a skeleton watch, like sure, like the body of it will be usually like a silver or a stainless steel.
Yeah, right. Okay, but your strap and stuff would be more of a nylon or a leather.
Exactly.
Yeah. I very much like the look of just a nylon watch in the summer as well. Like a little simple kind of utility or army watch. I quite like. And they're very in right now, by the way. Same as you, the one thing I would say, I enjoy my bracelets, but again, my focal point, I don't wear a lot of men's jewelry. If I do, it is typically on my wrists, and what I do like to wear every day is a watch. So as you can see, this one's technically matching with my ring. So this is rose gold. You can mix and match metals. Just be careful. It's hard if you have a wedding ring, you're not going to change that ring, and you don't want it to stop you from wearing any other type of metal ever because you wear the wedding ring. So you can mix and match. Just be a bit, just take a look, think things through before you assemble your outfit for the day. Same with leathers. So if you're wearing a leather strap that's brown, I wouldn't wear a black belt or I wouldn't wear black shoes. I would try to match most of my leathers. Make sure that, you know, if you have a few watches and bracelets, think about what bracelet goes well with that watch today because of what you're wearing. So always, it's something I quite enjoy. I know a lot of men see this as like Chinese to them, and they wake up and they're like, getting dressed is a struggle for me. Therefore, I put zero thought and I just put things on. For me, it's kind of like, a painting. Like I like the artistic thought behind what I will be wearing today or tomorrow or to that event coming up. So the more you can think and feel that way, more odds that you'll become a bit more stylish and embrace, new things, for your wardrobe.
Yeah, I would say so. So what do you say we leave it there?
Yeah. Well, last thing, very important.
Oh,
and that's sunglasses. Yes, I am that douchebag who was wearing sunglasses inside.
You look like Tom Cruise.
Thank you. I'll take it, I guess. It's one of my pet peeves, actually, people who wear sunglasses inside. But I will say sunglasses, what, you wear them inside?
Every now and then. Like, okay. like walking into the building and then like I'll take them off like 20 feet in or sort of thing.
Sure, sure. But yeah, sunglasses are super, I would say, underrated, and for your style, but also your eye health, guys. I get in tiffs with my wife because she knows how pale my skin is, and I get some pretty nasty sunburns. So she's always pressuring me and bugging me to put sunscreen on, but she never wears her sunglasses. And guys, this is important. Wear sunglasses. You can't put sunscreen on your eyeballs, and your eyes are getting those UV rays, and they are slowly getting used by the sun. So wear sunglasses whenever you can. I know we grew up thinking that there's no sun in the winter. Same thing. And in fact, sometimes it's worse because the sun reflects off the snow, which will give you, sun blindness, snow blindness, where, depending if you're skiing or hiking or whatever. So sunglasses are very important. And this is putting fashion aside. Wear some sunglasses. And I would steer away from like the $10 sunglasses. You don't have to pay that much, but I would invest in one or two good pairs of sunglasses that, you know, maybe one of them is polarized as well. So you can actually see through, I don't know if you fish or you hike or whatever, but they do help you see through water, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Just make sure that they're UVA, UVB rated for protection. I typically go for the cheaper, the better, like as long as they have the UV protection,
exactly,
just because I lose my sunglasses or I'll break them or they'll get scratched when I bring them to the beach. Like I probably go through 2 to 3 pairs of sunglasses per summer. So anything above $20, I'm like, look, I'm going to be back here in 2 weeks anyways. So like, I'm sorry, that's the vestiges of Jason who can't keep his clothes clean when he was 15 years old. Well, that's the leftover of that guy.
Right. Yeah, no, I like my sunglasses. So I have a few nice pairs of sunglasses, but I always have I usually get it polarized, but I'll have a cheaper, slightly more athletic, or at least it's a lighter build that will stay on my face no matter what I do. So that's what I wear to go running, and I play a lot of beach volleyball. So beach volleyball, like the enemy of good sunglasses.
You don't absolutely wear good
sunglasses at beach volleyball. You get the ball in the face or you just drop it in the sand, it'll never be the same. Sand gets into it. Just get some half decent sunglasses that protect you from the sun. Then you can wear them when you're doing whatever kind of sport or activity.
Oh, and a little pro tip, fashion aside, keep a pair of sunglasses in your car. So that way there when you're driving, like, and always leave them in your car, like wherever the little visor thing is to put glasses in the car, just leave a pair in there, even if they're cheap. You'll be happy when you're driving and have the sun in your face.
Last thing I'll say too, there are lots of, like the models I like, the models that are quite stylish. You've got a lot from Ray-Ban. You've got the classic Wayfarer with typically the thicker black plastic rim. You've got some Clubmasters. Aviators are always, kind of a timeless bet. Just make sure they fit your face. Some aviators can be quite large. Also, something to do with sunglasses is you can mix sunglasses that are typically meant for women. I've done this in the past and have gotten many compliments. I think the model is called Erica and they are Ray-Bans. And I remember trying them on. I had lost my good Wayfarers in a lake, never to be found again. So I went to the store at the Sunglass Hut and I was trying a few on. So I was debating getting, new Wayfarers, the same similar model. Or I was looking at these and I was like, I quite like these. They fit my face very well, but they're a lot more delicate. This was years ago. And I was asking the lady who worked there, I was like, what do you think? So I tried both on for her. I was like, what are your thoughts? And she was like, I'm with you. I think I like the Erica's better on you. But she's like, so I was like, I think I'm going to take those. And she's like, just so you know, I just want to be transparent. They are typically a woman's model. And I was like, oh, thanks for telling me. But no, I think I'll take them. I think that's what I'm going to go with. And I got compliments for years on those sunglasses. And now you actually see those sunglasses on a lot of people, men and women.
Yeah, well, so, it fits the body type, right?
Again, if it fits your face, it's sunglasses. Who cares? Yeah.
Cool. Well, that was a lot of fun, man. And we'll tell you what, guys. If you enjoyed the episode, send us some photos. Like comment or send us some photos of how you set up your wardrobe, how do you set up your style, and we'll give our 2 cents. Or if you want our feedback, or if you disagree with what we said, hey, comment and we'll enjoy the discussion.
Yeah. And as I say, these are tips and tricks, but everybody's different. You have to be congruent. And at the end of the day, rules are meant to be broken. Just don't break them all at the same time.
Cheers, everyone.
This was another episode of The Independent Mindset. And as usual, you can find us wherever podcasts are listened to. So that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Simplecast, Pocket Cast, all of the casts. And we're always on Instagram too. So if you guys want to DM us, have some questions, or you'd like us to cover something else in the future, let us know. Have a good one.